Okay, so basically, then, you know, the reason that we're better off being possessed by a demon. I think I did that part, but. Okay, so you're better off being possessed by a demon than by your passions, because the demon can make men humble. Chrysostom, I read part of this. I'll read a little bit more. He says, more grievous than the demon is sin, for the demon makes men humble. I'm going to change this a little because this is in older English. It's a little bit hard. So he says, don't you see those possessed with a demon, when they've recovered from the attack, how downcast they are, how sad their faces are, how shamefaced they are, how they don't even have the courage to look you in the face? See the strange inconsistency. Those are ashamed because of the things they suffer, and we're not ashamed because of the things that we do. They're abashed because they were wronged, and we aren't abashed when we're doing wrong. And yet their condition is not a subject for shame, but for pity and tenderness and indulgence. No, great is the admiration that it calls for, and many praises, when struggling against such a spirit, they bear it all thankfully, where our condition is in very deed a subject for ridicule, for shame, for accusation, for correction, for punishment, for the worst of evils, for hellfire, calling for no compassion whatsoever. And then it goes back to that part, indeed, from the ills they suffer, they reap a double profit. First, they're being sobered and brought to more self-control, and then, having suffered here the chastisement of their own sins, they depart to their master purified. Then also, later on, just another one of his verses, and I could give you many verses of Chrysostom on this. It says, let us sing the psalm of good deeds, that we may cast out the sin that is worse than the demon. For a demon certainly will not deprive us of heaven, but in some cases will even help if you're sober-minded. But sin will definitely cast us out. For this is a demon we willingly receive, a self-chosen madness. Wherefore, it has nobody to pity it or to pardon it. When we first came across this, we were thinking, well, you know, Chrysostom, he's into exaggerating, so maybe he doesn't really mean this. You know, maybe he's just saying this to shock people, you know, because every time he gets to a passage where there's a demon-possessed person, he always gets into one of these comparisons, and it's like, this guy isn't nearly as insane as the person who is lustful. This guy isn't nearly as insane as the person who's greedy. And that's his big one, the greedy person, the avaricious person. We came across a couple of really, really interesting situations. This is from the Paradise of the Fathers. There was a saintly priest whose name was Innocent, and his son was in an inappropriate sexual relationship with the daughter of another priest. So Innocent thought that it would be better and more excellent in every way for his son to be delivered over to a devil rather than to fornication. And so he prayed that his son would be possessed. And his prayer was granted. And at the time of the writing, the son was still living in the Mount of Olives, loaded with irons and admonished by a devil. Okay, then there's another story of somebody who actually prayed that for himself. And this was a monk who, you know, was a very holy monk, and he had been granted the grace to do miracles. And people started saying, you know, well, this guy, boy, he must be pretty holy. And he started listening to it. And he couldn't quite root it out of himself. You know, so it was like, yeah, I must be pretty holy, you know, if I can do all these miracles. And because he was as holy as he was, he knew that there's really not a much worse poison that you can take than vainglory. So, and this is in Sulpitius Severus. And so he says, betaking himself, therefore, with fervent supplication to God, he is said to have prayed that power being given to the devil over him for 5 months, he might become like to those whom he himself had cured. Why should I delay with many words? That most powerful man, he renowned for his miracles and virtues through all the East, he to whose threshold multitudes had gathered, and at whose door the highest dignitaries of that age had prostrated themselves, was laid hold of by a demon and was kept fast in chains. It was only after having suffered all those things which the possessed endure that in the 5th month he was delivered, not only from the demon, but what was to him more useful and desirable, from the vanity which had dwelt within him. So here is somebody who is sane enough to know what's really insane. And, you know, most of us, I am certainly not suggesting that anybody pray to be possessed by a devil to get rid of vainglory, okay? I mean, this is a very holy man. You know, that's not for, you know, there's what you can do if you're an Olympic athlete, you can't do if you're starting out, right? And so we're just starting out, and I certainly don't suggest such a thing. But again, the key to understanding this is that sin is a demon we willingly receive, a self-chosen madness. And this holy monk knew that he was receiving this thing that he knew was so bad, and he wasn't able to get rid of it by himself. So he was willing to undergo an extremely harsh cure for the sake of not dying spiritually. Okay. So, and that leads into the last point here, which is that the reason you're better off being possessed by a demon than by your passions is that the possession actually is, possession by passions actually is a worse form of possession by demons. In John Cassian, there's a story of Abba Serapion, who became one of the great lights of the desert at the time. But when he was a young novice, he would steal biscuits, and, you know, to eat more than he was supposed to eat. And he, you know, was just very caught up in this, and finally he confesses, and his elder, you know, says, without any words of mine, your confession frees you from this slavery. And then he actually sees the demon leaving. You know, so, and then he says, and the old man said, after he sees this demon leaving, he says, the Lord has visibly confirmed to you the truth of my words, so that you can see with your eyes how he who was the author of his passion has been driven out from your heart in your life-giving confession. So, you know, one incredibly important thing for us is confession, you know, because that gets rid of the self-chosenness of it. You know, it's like, I shouldn't be this way. I admit it. It's wrong. Help me. And that's very, very important in healing us. There's more I could do here. This is a bit technical, and I don't really want to go into it. But basically, the simple version of this more technical part is that we were made to be temples. We can't help but be a temple. The question is, who are we going to be a temple of? Are we going to be a temple of God, or are we going to become a temple of demons? And basically, at any given time, I'm choosing who I'm letting enter into my heart. And if I choose anger, gluttony, pride, that's not God I'm letting into my heart. But if I'm choosing patience, love, self-control, you know, the other fruits of the Spirit, then that is God that I'm allowing into my heart. So, you know, when we started this research, I don't know that we would have put it into words, and surely we would have been embarrassed to have put it into such words. But I think it was sort of like, you know, we're pretty sane, and we're going to study this so that we can help those poor, pathetic people who are mentally ill and demon-possessed. And what we really found from this is that we're probably just too wimpy to go through what these people go through, the mentally ill, the addicted, the demon-possessed. And our role isn't the role of a, you know, a really together person helping someone else. It's more like that person is a Olympic boxer, you know, and I'm wimpy and I can't do that, but I can, like, give them the water and I can, you know, give them the towel and wipe off the blood from their face and say, okay, come on, you can do it. Get back in there. You know, and I just want to say now that when I've talked to people about this who are struggling with mental illness, so often that's really all they needed to hear. All they really needed to hear was that they're not second-class citizens in the kingdom of heaven if they're citizens of the kingdom of heaven at all. But if they're anything, they're probably the first-class citizens. And just to know that, just to know that you're not a pariah, is an immensely healing thing, you know, for people to hear. And it really, I mean, for us, it was a total paradigm change in how we saw life and what we saw really, really mattered and what was really important. So for us, you know, so it's like, who should we be worried about? You know, should we be worried about the mentally ill person, the demonically possessed person? Well, yeah, okay, yeah. Do what you can to help them, do what you can to love them. But, you know, who we really need to be worried about is the superior of the monastery who still eats too much and still has a high opinion of herself, you know. The person who's on the board of their church and is looking down at the person who drinks too much and is thanking God they're not like that. You know, because we have this self-chosen madness.